Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. You probably all know this already, but you're lucky to live in a small rural town in Iowa. And I know it might not always seem that way, because small towns have their problems, of course, but especially when it comes to reading and understanding the Bible, living in a small agricultural town is very helpful. Because it helps you to understand what it's talking about. Jesus' parables often deal with agricultural themes. The Psalms deal with the same types of things. So if you've grown up in a little rural town around these examples, it's easier for you to understand how they relate to your faith. Unfortunately, even we, the people that grow up in these small towns, we have a hard time applying those truths to our faith life, but at least it's a little easier for us to understand them, so that's what I'm going to be talking about today, how we can apply what we know and understand about these parables and about these scripture passages, how we can apply them to our spiritual life. I'm going to start by reading two Bible passages today that each deal with the same topic, how faith grows. First, a reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. And here is a reading from Mark chapter 4. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. So both passages deal with how faith grows. They highlight the fact that we have a part to play. We plant the seed. We share Jesus with other people. We let them know about God. But God has the biggest part to play. He makes it grow. He makes things happen. We can't do that. Now, today in our modern age, I think most farmers could explain to you how a seed grows and fully matures into the plant that is harvested. They might not have understood all the science behind it back when the Bible was written, but I would say most farmers could do a pretty good job of explaining what's going on. But that doesn't mean that they can make it happen on their own. I mean, I'm sure that there have been lots of 4-H projects explaining how a seed becomes a fully grown, corn seed becomes a fully grown and mature corn plant to be harvested. But that doesn't mean that they could just do it. Right? They would need God to make that thing grow. This reminds me of a joke. I heard it a long time ago, but I was only recently reminded of it on YouTube a few days ago, actually. Some scientists came up to God and explained that while they appreciated all the work God had done over the centuries, that now in our modern day, we could do everything he could do, and he really wasn't needed anymore. He could retire. God said, okay, well, just show me what you can do. So the scientists took some soil and they molded it into a child, and then through a bunch of scientific steps, they gave the child life, and it was a living being. And God was saying, wow, that's really something. Now, I want you to try it again, but this time, find your own soil. See, farmers could tell you what they would need for a plant to grow. They could tell you what seeds you need, what nutrients need to be in the soil, how to encourage that seed to grow. They could tell you how much sunlight, how much water, how much time that seed's gonna need to fully mature. But no farmer is gonna be able to create the soil that they plant the seed in, and they can't make the water, and they can't make the sunlight. We're all reliant on God to do these things. That we can put the seed in the right environment to grow, but we can't make it grow on our own. We are completely reliant on God to do this. And remember, this parable isn't about growing seeds at all. It's about growing faith, okay? So what can we take from what we know about how seeds grow and understand what's God talking about when it comes to our faith growing? Well, we have a part to play. We can share the message of Jesus Christ with others. We can share his love and nourish their faith in him. We can do Bible studies. We can invite people to church services. We can pray for people. We can listen to them and encourage them in their struggles. We can shine a light in dark places, but we can't, on our own, make faith happen. That's a God thing. That's what God can do. We can't make someone believe in their hearts. We can't make somebody love God. All we can do is tell them about God's great love for them. God has to do the hard work. So let's say this. You've raised your children in the church. This is something people come up to me a lot and talk to me about. You raised them in church, told them all about God, but then as adults, they don't go to church anymore. They don't seem to care about their faith lives at all. So you wonder, well, what do I do? I thought I did everything right. You have done everything right. I mean, you've planted the seeds. You've nourished it. You got to stop blaming yourself. Now, after the hailstorm in the spring, what did we do? A lot of farmers had to replant. So you can keep replanting those seeds again and again and again. You can do that. But only God can make that faith grow. So you keep doing your job. You plant. You replant as many times as necessary. You pray. You nourish. You encourage. But then you got to let God do his job. His job is to make the faith happen. In our reading today from Isaiah, we are encouraged that God won't let our efforts be fruitless. It says, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. We know that every snowflake that we get in the middle of January is going to help the future harvest in the fall. I remember up in Harvey, North Dakota, during a really bad snowstorm, one of the farmers saying, well, it might be miserable now, but it's going to help the water table later on, so I'm not complaining. I mean, we understand that if any precipitation that falls, it's going to help the harvest in the future. We can trust that every word that God speaks, every time we share the message of Jesus, it does make a difference, even though we might not be able to see it immediately. I baptize a lot of little babies, a lot of little kids along the way, and a lot of those little kids, I don't see for a while. I might not see them ever again. I don't know. But I trust that God keeps his promises to them and that God is working in their life. And believe it or not, I end up seeing a lot of them later on in life. I may not see them for the first 5 years, but sometimes I see them at Grow. Sometimes I see them later on at confirmation. And some of them I may not see, but they may be going to some other church. They may be practicing their faith in a different way that I will never see. We have to trust that God, when he gets his message to people, that he is doing work that we may not always be able to see, but it's effective, and it's not going to return to him empty. So in the Bible, talk about faith is often referred to like with seeds or plants, that kind of imagery. But when God talks about his people, his followers, he's often talking about animals, especially sheep, like I was talking about with the children. What do we know about animals out here in agricultural small town Iowa? Well, now some people from big cities complain that animals live a horrible life on the farm. Just look up PETA and find out what they have to say about things. They believe that farmers and ranchers, they don't care about their animals at all. But anyone who has ever raised animals or knows people that do, they know that that just isn't the case. It's just not true. I'll bet you that every animal that goes to the fair this year has a name. Now, they might name the pigs Bacon or Hamburger to make it easier in the end, but the kid who raises that animal cares a lot about it because they spend so much time with it. I mean, they have to in order to raise that animal. I know that Christy used to tell me at the end of 4-H, like kids would be by their animals crying, you know, because they had to give it up at the end of the fair. But they knew that that was the purpose that they had raised this animal for. That was what they need. That's why they spent all this time with it. And if you have ever seen a child get really upset at the end of that fair time after they've spent all this time with the animal, then you will know that you can't make the argument that farmers don't care. But we understand that animals have a purpose, and we raise them to live out that purpose. But in order to help them grow healthy and strong, you got to build a good relationship with them. That's what Jesus is telling us as well when he says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me." In order to live out our purpose, we have got to spend some time with God. We've got to have that relationship with him. That's how we learn what he wants for us and how we live that out. So build a relationship with God. If you took your best-in-class animal and had someone else try to show them at the fair, it might not go very well. Why not? Well, because that animal probably wouldn't be very likely to listen to a stranger's voice. That's what Jesus is saying here as well. He's saying we need to spend time training with him so that we'll recognize his voice, that we recognize, yeah, I've heard that in the Bible before, that we're not going to believe a lie. When Jesus says over and over again that no matter what we have done in our life, that nothing will separate us from his love. Now, we can hear everybody else in the world say, oh, you're not worthy. You haven't done enough. You've done too many horrible things. But that's not the truth. We know that the truth, Jesus says that he will love us no matter what. That's why he had to die on the cross for us. But we have to learn that. We have to keep hearing it over and over so we know that that's the truth and not these other lies that would tell us that we're not enough. Jesus says he's enough for us. So we don't want to be led astray by a stranger's voice. The only way you're really going to truly live out your purpose that God has for you is to build that relationship with him through prayer, through Bible study, through coming to worship services, through hanging out with other Christian people that can help you. This is the best way to build a relationship. But the thing is, even if we've grown up, been raised in a small town, there's always more to learn. Even though we live in a rural area, we don't always realize what was happening in biblical culture, even though we think we might. For instance, a lot of you fish. I bet a lot of you have gone fishing. It's a pretty relaxing pastime. So when Jesus calls us to be fishers of people, to fishers of men, you might think, you know what he's talking about. You've been fishing. And yet, you'd be completely wrong. When Jesus called fishermen to be his disciples, they didn't fish with a rod and a reel like we do nowadays. They used nets. And it wasn't an easy job. They had to cast out that net, and they had to pull it in. And if they had fish in it, that thing got really heavy. It wasn't something you just cast out and laid back and slowly reeled it in or waited for the bobber to go under the water. It took a lot of hard work to be a fisherman. And so we have to understand that being a Christian is going to take a lot of hard work as well. When Jesus calls us to fish for people, he isn't telling us to sit back, lure them into church, and then set the hook. That's not what he's saying. He knows that it's going to take a lot of hard work to pull people in, to help them to meet Jesus Christ and get to know him. And they might try to go back out, but you got to pull them back in so that they can meet Jesus and know him as their Savior. The Christian life was always meant to involve hard work. But many people don't realize that. They've never been fishing. And even if they have, like a lot of us, they've never even used nets before. So take what you know as a person who lives around these examples and apply it to your faith life. Expect to work hard as a Christian. Fishing with nets isn't an easy task. If you aren't being challenged to share your faith with other people, it might be time to get to that work, to start working. You can start by building a relationship with God yourself, of course, to get to know him so that you can recognize his voice and differentiate the truth that he tells you from a lie. Finally, when you've done all that you can to share your faith with other people, when you've done everything you can to do your best here on earth, well, then you've got to trust that God has his job to do. There's a lot of things we can't do. We do our very best, but we have to trust that God is going to do the most important work, not only of creating faith in our hearts, but in the faith of others, or in the hearts of other people. We do the planting, but God gives the growth. God wants us to trust him. If we know that we have to do that, we have to trust God with a corn harvest, we should also realize that that's the situation with the final spiritual harvest as well. If you feel like you don't have a strong enough faith, maybe you need to just pray and ask God to bless you with that strength and that faith that you need, because it's coming from him. If you see someone that you wish had more faith, you know, plant the seeds and then pray, because God is the one that's going to give them the faith that they need. So thank God that you live in a small rural town in Iowa, and then take that knowledge and apply it to your spiritual life every day and in every way. Amen.